Hey, how you guys doing? This is Joey Galvez here at the Bat Pod. I'm here to let you guys know that this episode you're about to listen to is a pre-recorded episode, so please forgive us for any outdated information. We usually record on Thursdays, so that we didn't interrupt any Thanksgiving festivities, we recorded a week prior. So sit back and enjoy the semi-Thanksgiving episode. And we at the Bat Pod hope you're all having a happy holiday season.
Grab your bat microphone, it's time to start the show. Like a court of owls, the mystery is starting to grow. Let there be no debate, it's about to begin. Keen like Bruce Wayne, quick like Tim Drake, fierce like Damien. Grab your headphones, listen up, you know you love it. Drop the facade. Like the Dark Knight Detective, they've got some perspective. They're a pure crime-fighting collective. It's the Bat Pod.
Welcome to the Bat Pod, Episode 5. My name is Bill Beer, and joining me as always, Joey Galvez.
Hey, how you doing today, Bill?
Pretty good. So normally we would record on Thursday every 2 weeks, me and you get together. This time, the Thursday, what we would have recorded is Thanksgiving, so we're doing this episode a little bit early. We have no Batman book the first time. Huh. That will be next episode, but what we're going to do tonight is we're going to do Detective Comics 992, Red Hood, Outlaw number 28, and Nightwing number 52. We do have Stump the co-host that should be kind of exciting. And we're going to do something a little bit different for Character Spotlight. It's actually going to be a Thanksgiving theme. It was Joey's idea. Thanksgiving themed book we're actually going to do that's Batman related.
Yeah. You did not like this idea. You were like, yeah, that's not going to happen. But
not a big fan, but...
I'm a huge fan of the holidays, man. I am one of those, and we were talking about it a little bit. I'm a sappy fella, and I get sappy around the holidays. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I apologize in advance. Joey's going to get sappy, and I'm sure since he's editing, that will not be edited out.
I don't edit anything out, especially if it embarrasses me.
Well, that's always good.
All right, let's have some fun.
Okay. Let's head to the books.
We are a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network.
The Batpod is a spoiler podcast. Please read the comics we're reviewing so you can enjoy the show.
Our first book is Red Hood Outlaw number 28. Your writer is Scott Lobdell. Your artist and cover artist is Pete Woods. Your colors are Rex Locus. Your letters is ALW's Troy Petery. Your variant cover is Yasmoon Putri. And your group editor, Mary Javins. And your editor is Rob Levin. So in this issue, we see the Red Hood, Jason Todd, still investigating the underlife. He goes to Appletown. Have you ever been to Appletown, by the way?
No, but I hear they have great pie.
Yeah. Appletown on Apple Day. All these friendly, nice folks turn into murderers. Jason Todd gets attacked and hung on what looks to be a cross.
Oh, man.
He's almost gutted by a mechanical hawk-like monster, and Batwoman comes in to save the day. It was an interesting issue, to say the least.
Yeah.
I knew these people were going to be a little off because he was there.
Right.
Checking out this underlife, you know, it's kind of complex. It's kind of a bunch of mobsters that conglomerate, you know, they're all working together somehow.
Yeah, and they're all from many different walks of life as well. You had some guys who are bikers, and you have this whole town.
Yeah. And there at the beginning, you see the sheriff from a few issues ago that he took down. Mm-hmm. He didn't kill him, but he took down. He's got a broken leg and a black eye, and something's going on with his neck because he has that collar on. I guess this is one of Underlife's enforcer, which is Wingman.
Yeah, we see Wingman come on in here. And what's weird is, you know, they open up this book here. They're talking about Red Hood, and they're like, oh, that's not him. That's Wingman. But I was reading up on this. Wasn't Jason Todd Wingman for a little while, or
Why don't you tell us who Wingman is? You were always prepared on these kind of things.
What I'm reading here about Wingman, he was a member of the Club of Heroes, considered to be the Batman of Sweden.
He was actually originally introduced in Batman number 65 from 1951. Bruce Wayne actually recruits Wingman to be a costume crime fighter, a version of Batman for Europe. In this version, his costume was bright red and yellow.
Okay.
Much like Dick Grayson's costume, minus the green.
Yeah.
And he would also appear in the pages of Batman of All Nations.
And his name was Benedict Runstrom.
So that actually makes this a lot more interesting.
Yeah, because you wonder who this guy is. And it makes me wonder, you know, was Red Hood's Wingman a part of this continuity, or are they just going to go with...
Well, you know, continuity is kind of fuzzy at the moment. The more that Rebirth has happened, the more they've adapted some of this pre-Flashpoint continuity. So it's hard to say what is there. I think all Batman and Superman's pre-continuity is there, but it's hard to say because there's some people that, villains that died pre-Flashpoint that are alive now. So it's kind of a mixed bag as far as that goes. You know, DC sort of dropped the ball with this, you know, New 52, and we really don't know what happened in the past and what didn't. And you know, here at the Bat Pod, we do this Batman podcast, but really, we do not know everything that ever happened in any of these books. I've read a lot of these books, read a lot of Batman comics. I don't remember every detail that happens in them. So we do have to look this stuff up.
Right.
So if you're listening and said, these guys don't know anything. Well, I've read a lot of stuff. I don't remember every detail. Some things I remember better than others. So yeah, that's kind of interesting.
And seeing that guy towards the end, that big guy, he almost looked a whole lot like Solomon Grundy to me. But then you saw that he had all this he was like a biomechanical, like, Hulk-like guy or whatever.
When I first saw him, I sort of thought, I didn't think it was him only for a second. But the way he talked, it was out of character. And then, I didn't think it was him at all. But the one thing I find interesting is, he gets attacked by this crowd at this
Appleton.
Apple. Yeah, they have Apple Day where it's Apple everything. Apple cider, apple pie. Apparently Jason Todd doesn't like apple pie. That's just not American. He gets attacked by all these people. They have shovels, pitchforks, axes, knives. He gets overwhelmed. The one guy has a sledgehammer to his face there at the one point. But he gets overcome by all these people. And next thing, he's on this cross.
Right.
Right? In his Red Hood uniform, they put on his little eyepiece, his little mouthpiece that he wears now, and he's in his Red Hood gear. They went to a lot of trouble to put him in his uniform.
That was kind of funny. I noticed that, too. I had to flip back a couple pages. I said, did I just skip a couple of pages? Because he's now in his uniform. That was really weird.
It was almost like a ritual killing of some sort. You know what I'm saying?
Right, like they sent this monster in there to go to. It's like a, almost reminded me of like King Kong when they had that woman wrapped up on that pole to go, you know, sacrifice to King Kong. That's kind of what they're doing here, sacrificing him to this monster. This is a no-named monster. I looked it up. This guy is just a no-named generic character, at least for now. I'm sure, I wonder if they're going to come up with something here and he's a new character that they're going to give a name.
Probably not, because you see, it's like, there's several others attacking. It's just some kind of android that they built or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that you won't really see him after this issue. But yeah, Batwoman comes in. And of course, if you read Solicits, you knew she was going to show up here pretty soon. Lately, I've been trying to stay away from Solicits. Yeah. Because I seem to enjoy stuff more. I've been staying away from the Batman Solicits, to be honest. Because I think I enjoy stuff a little more. Because the one thing that we did the last time was that Batman with the Penguin, where Alfred was almost shot. And that was in the Solicits about Alfred, you know. Almost.
Oh, really? Was it? Oh,
yes, man. It was in one of the Solicits. And it's like, I'm glad I didn't remember that. And this would have meant a lot more to me if I didn't know she was going to show up.
Yeah, how are you going to give that away? But it almost looks like she came in to like fight him. This is where I was confused. I told you, I was like, I'm going to have to read this again because I'm a little confused. Because first of all, I was confused in whether that big guy was Solomon Grundy or not. And then I saw that he was a biomechanical monster. So I was like, yeah, that's not him. And then I saw, you know, Batwoman come in. And the first page she's in there, she's got a pitchfork to Red Hood's back. And they start fighting a little bit. And you're just like, what? Are they going to team up or are they going to fight? What was she there for in the first place?
I'm not sure. I think that we're going to find that out. No, I don't think she's there to attack him or anything. She's trying to basically save him, but is just sticking the fork in the back, you know? It's Jason Todd. It's not like it's Batman or anything.
I just thought that was a little weird.
Yeah, and they're both ousted from Gotham, so that's kind of...
But she's still wearing the Batman logo on her chest, and he's not.
Yeah, well, she wore that before she was even part of that family, so...
Yeah, this was an interesting one. And now that after I kind of looked some stuff up and kind of we talked about it a little bit, it seems a little bit more interesting than it did at first. I wasn't too much into it before, and it was, I thought, the least strongest out of all three of the books that we picked. So
I enjoyed it. There wasn't a lot that got moved forward. You don't find any more about this afterlife. It just is basically an issue so him and Batwoman can get together.
Possibly. You know, I did enjoy the issue before this one better than this one here. You had, you know, obviously you saw a little bit of Bruce come in, and you kind of almost see them kind of have a mutual respect with one another when Bruce comes in and tells him about Roy Harper's death. And that's a big one, right? I mean, between this one and the Titans, we find out that Roy Harper is actually dead.
Yeah, the only thing weird to me, it's not really mentioned in the actual book where he died.
You had to read the Titans and you had to read this one
to actually
get the answer that he's dead.
Yeah, I mean, they mention it in you know, like words, but and you see it in one panel, but it's never discussed. So,
and you always, when you see superheroes laid out like they're dead, you always wonder, are they really dead? Because, I mean, it's comics, right? I'm interested to see what's going on here and how they're going to team up. But you're right. This one, there wasn't a lot of forward progression. It did feel kind of like they had to write something in there to get him to team up with Batwoman.
I'm looking forward to see where this goes. So it's not like I'm jumping off this.
Yeah.
Should be interesting.
Yeah. I definitely want to see where they're going to take this one. I mean, and who this version of Wingman is.
Yeah, that's the most interesting thing, I think, now.
Yeah.
That and, you know, or Batwoman and Red Hood going to work together. That's kind of interesting, but
right.
We'll see where this goes.
Cool.
So, next we will head to topic of the week.
Joe Chill. You are the slinking coward who murdered Thomas and Martha Wayne.
That was a lifetime ago.
Yes, my lifetime. You took them without mercy or regret and in cold blood, Jill.
How do you know this? How could you possibly?
I know because I watched it happen. I know because I am the son of the man you murdered. I am Bruce Wayne.
No. Oh, no.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? This is Joey Galvez here, and this is going to be our topic of the week segment. This week, we're doing something a little bit different. Unfortunately, Bill could not make it. I think he said he's going to be off researching some trivia for the next Stump the Co-host segment. But this week, I've got a very special guest on, and we're going to be talking about a very special topic of the week. I've got my wife, Elizabeth Galvez, on today. We're going to be talking about the psychology of Batman, and specifically the psychology of Batman since the wedding breakup. So how's it going, wife?
I'm fantastic, husband.
So this topic was kind of something that I wanted to talk about a little bit, and I don't know if it was going to be a topic that Bill would be too much into, but I felt like I really wanted to touch basis on this a little bit. It kind of goes hand in hand with all the books that have happened since the wedding. I wanted to kind of bring up
the mental state that Bruce and Batman are kind of going through since he was left at the altar. He had a son who was shot. He had his manservant almost shot in the head. And then he beat up multiple people. There's got to be something going on there, right?
Well, if we're going to look at this from a psychological background, how much was Batman actually held as a kid?
I don't know about that one. But we got to first kind of talk about how, you know, the first trauma that he experienced at a young age was obviously his parents dying right in front of him.
Right. So, and I know that you like to make fun of me a lot because my Batman basis comes from the movies and not the books. But my understanding of Alfred is that, yes, he's the butler. Yes, he's the hired help, but he's a friend of the family.
Yeah.
And no, even though he's, you know, reared Batman and
The Bat family.
Even though he's, you know, been a huge component in that, my understanding is that Alfred is really essentially a butler. He's not a trained therapist. He's not trained to deal with anything, you know, hired help, essentially.
Yeah, and he was put into that position, you know, unfortunately, after his parents died. And he was,
which happens a lot of times because we've seen tons of movies where, you know, the maid ends up or the nanny ends up being the best person in the family. I know that our kids, godmom is so much wiser than we will ever be and always has better insight or input than you and I could ever have. She's not a therapist. She's not trained to deal with the trauma of watching your parents die.
Correct. Yeah. And it's one of those things where, you know, he's kind of learning along with Bruce as well, you know, and this is all happening for the first time for him as well. But the thing is, that is such a huge thing, right? A small child going through something like this at a young age and then growing into, a college age, young man. And if we're going to be talking about Batman through comic books and movies and TV shows, we got to bring up Batman Begins, where you see the Bruce Wayne get very upset and he, you know, he's in the courtroom and he's, you know, you got Joe Chill, the person who killed his parents, there on trial. And somebody asks, you know, we have a member of the Wayne family here. And do they want to say anything? He stands up, walks out, and he has a gun in his pocket. He wants to kill the man who killed his parents.
Wow.
So, you know, he's been living with this from a really young age all the way up to leaving college.
Right.
Graduating from college. And he's held this animosity towards this person. That's got to do something on your psyche, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And then if we're going to be talking about, you know, the comic books, you know, he's broken. You know, he's the same person here. Like, we have a book out right now called Heroes in Crisis. And in the last issue that we saw Batman kind of doing one of those confessionals in front of Sanctuary. And he's, you know, he doesn't talk very much, but you could completely see how broken he really is. You know, at this point, he's had a failed attempt at marriage. And you can just tell that he is just a broken person. Now he's got a son who has amnesia because he got shot. You know, there was an attempt on Alfred's life. And then Batman goes and beats the heck out of Mr. Freeze. He kind of, throughout that book there, he kind of, you know, contemplates on whether he took it too far. And did Mr. Freeze actually kill these women? Come to find out, you know, Mr. Freeze was actually framed, I think, by the Penguin. And so he was completely wrong for beating Mr. Freeze up. So him trying to change that and inserting himself into the jury and changing everybody's mind by manipulating them a little bit so that he can free Mr. Freeze because he was trying to right his wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and beats up Bane, because he finally finds out Bane is behind all of this. He beats up KG Beast, leaves KG Beast almost for dead. And we still don't know if KG Beast is laying in that snow dead. Where's it? And you said something earlier today that you touched on something perfect, right? you said that Bruce Wayne needs the help, not Batman, right?
Well, so, and listening to you talk just now, that was the thought that kind of came across to me, is that you kept saying he, and my mind goes to, well, which he? Because they're one and the same. Yes, they're the same body, but they are two different entities.
Because Batman has to be separate from Bruce Wayne.
Exactly. It's Batman that's attacking all these people. This isn't Bruce Wayne that's attacking them. So it makes you wonder, where exactly is the trauma laying? Is it that moment where you see these split personalities or what have you, and something happened to somebody that was horrible and traumatic and has just really affected them, and then a separate personality comes out to protect that child that was hurt? Mm-hmm. So is Batman actually just a separate personality of protection?
I don't know about that. I don't know about that, but I get where you're coming from. I get what your thought process is.
Right. And when we had talked about it, we had kind of really talked about the heroes. What was that book called?
Heroes in Crisis.
Heroes in Crisis. And you had kind of shared with me that's already kind of being focused on that.
About PTSD and the heroes.
That
and
these superheroes, that they recognize that they do need to kind of deal with some of these issues that they have. And we had talked about how Batman and Bruce Wayne are separate, that Clark Kent and Superman are separate. They're one and the same, but separate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's one thing that Clark says in Heroes in Crisis, and I love what he said, and I always have to kind of think back to it. He says, is Clark Superman trying to be flawed, or is Superman Clark trying to be better? I think that sums it up for, and you can insert any hero's name there, right? Mm-hmm. And if we're specifically talking about Batman and the psychosis of Batman here, is Bruce Batman trying to be flawed, or is Batman Bruce trying to be better? And I think that's perfect, right? Because that kind of sums it up a little bit here. For him to go from this hurt child to wanting vengeance on the person who killed his parents, and then becoming Batman because he needs to seek vengeance for the little person, right?
Right.
And then going flying off the handle once he becomes broken. And we found out that Bane is behind all of this. Bane wants him completely broken mentally, physically, and emotionally. And that's exactly what Bane is getting here. Bane is getting a completely broken Batman.
So, but then again, there's the question. Is it Bruce Wayne that needs therapy, or is it Batman that needs therapy? Because, right? Again, I know that we've made the joke, or I made the joke earlier about Sanctuary. That's a whole different story there. But obviously they're going to attempt to try to get a little bit of help. I get that. But then they're erasing it. So they're not getting any feedback. They're not getting any tools. But this was the thought that came to mind. Anyone that's done any type of therapy, family therapy, relationship therapy, and you are trying to set boundaries, and we always joke about this, that you have the I feel statement. So you get in an argument with someone and you say, babe, I feel like you are saying that to hurt my feelings. And you would say in response?
I don't know.
And that's why we need therapy. You would say in response to me, babe, I feel that I'm hurting your feelings by what I'm saying, blah, 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 blah. You say these I feel statements. You acknowledge the other person's feelings. Okay. Now, could you imagine if Batman was in the middle of an ordeal, a situation, a beginning of a physical altercation with any one of these, his enemies, and he were to be like, Penguin, I feel like you're disrespecting me in this moment. So yeah, I don't know.
I get what you're saying. You know, Batman can't stop and say, you know, and be like, hey, hold on, guys. We have to have some kind of resolution here. Let's not have a conflict resolution here.
There we go.
let's do this.
Violence isn't the answer. Violence guys. Is
not the answer. We have to step back and let's talk it out.
let's discuss and acknowledge our feelings in this moment. However, I do feel like Bruce Wayne does need to come to terms with his feelings.
Bruce Wayne.
Correct.
Not Batman.
Right. Because I think that a lot of what's going on is that there is this underlining, the same way that Clark was saying, am I Superman being perfect or am I Clark trying to be all that jazz, the confusing conundrum of that mm-hmm. statement.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a part of Bruce that has just decided to step out of who he is and hide in this persona that is Batman. All of his anger can be geared towards somebody, something when he is Batman. All of it can be addressed while he's dressed up in the bat suit.
Yeah.
But none of it is real. It's all just a cover up because eventually that suit has to come off mm-hmm. and he is yeah. back to being broken. He can't deal with the broken engagement. He hasn't come to terms with the death of his parents. He is struggling as an adoptive father. He feels guilt towards all of these things that have happened in his life that he has a portion of control over, because we all have a portion of control in our destiny, but he's not fully in control of another's actions.
I think you kind of touched on something that was perfect there. Because of all the stuff that was kind of happening to him, to Bruce Wayne, the wedding was not Batman
mm-hmm.
and right. Catwoman. It was Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne falling in love. They just happened to be Batman and Catwoman.
Right.
And in the book, you know, I know that they kind of had to say Batman and Catwoman were getting married because Selina Kyle was running from the law. So it couldn't be Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle getting married. So that's number one there that probably hurt, you know, the relationship a little bit, because they knew somewhere deep down inside that they couldn't come right out and be married in public, right? So again, now they have to live a different life. Now, let's say that Batman and Catwoman actually got married. In the daylight, when Bruce Wayne is out being the Playboy millionaire and Selina Kyle is at home with her thousands of cats, can they actually go out into the world as a married couple?
Obviously not. If she's on the run and he's...
He's not. He is, you know, he's this person who's respected, who doesn't break the law and all right. this good stuff, right? So that can't happen. Already, that relationship is fractured, right?
Now, how interesting is that, though, that he would get into a relationship that would be fractured? It's that setting up for failure exactly. aspect that most individuals do when they are
broken.
Damaged. Yeah.
And damaged. Yep.
Exactly.
Exactly. So, this is actually a great conversation because Batman is so much more complex than just a guy who goes up and beats up criminals. He is this complex person who is damaged, who is broken, and all he's known is damaged and broken things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had, you know, obviously he adopts a child who is just like him, who's going to be growing up in a fractured world because his world is now fractured because his parents are dead. Right?
Right.
And then he grows up and he kind of, you know, rebels against Batman a little bit and goes off and does this thing, and he leaves the Robin persona. And then Batman has to fill that void by finding a new Robin. And then that Robin gets killed. And then finds another Robin. And then, you know, and then he goes through all these many different Robins. He's broken, but he's always trying to reach out for something that is not broken. And he can't ever grasp onto it. At least in my perspective.
So do you think that this is something that people think about when they're drawn to these different superheroes is the tortured side of them?
No, not at all. Because obviously I don't, that's not what I'm drawn to. I actually had to, when I thought about this conversation, I actually had to think about Batman in a complete different way than I actually really do. Because when I read a Batman comic book, I don't think about this stuff. I think Batman as, you know, just, oh, he's Batman. And I think that's why a lot of people now are like, you know, Tom King is writing Batman as more human than ever. And it's because now he's making you think a little bit differently about Batman. And I think that's the aspect that everybody's kind of talking about there.
So I guess I'm going to make a statement that probably could be misconstrued as being sexist, because I think that a lot of females have this tendency to be drawn to characters because they either see themselves in it or they can relate to it. So it's interesting to hear your point of view and for you to be so adamant about, no, that I don't see any of that. Whereas a female would say, well, the reason that I like Wonder Woman is because she came from a single mom home and she was, you know, taught to be strong from a young age. She didn't know she may have known her royal lineage, but she didn't know who she was until she needed to. And then she was able to step up and be this Betty bad, you know what, and and make things happen. With that said, that's why I relate to her, because, you know, I was a single mom. So there's this part of me that wants to make my daughter strong, that wants to make her proud of who she is. You know what I mean? So it's interesting that you as a person says, no, that's not how I see it. But I'm curious to know if other men look at these characters and go, you know, with Superman, how it was saying, I'm clumsy, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. But when I'm Superman, I am this strong and brave and whatever, whatever. Yeah. If they relate themselves to that aspect, or the Hulk, I'm this, you know, nerdy scientist, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. But when you tick me off, I'm about to rip my clothes off and smash some stuff. You know,
that sounds a whole lot like our 8-year-old.
It does. Sure does. But I wonder if people have this tie to these characters because they see themselves in it.
I personally, I don't see it as that. When I read these books, I read it just for the fun of it. I read it for the stories. And then I'm not one of those people who like kind of, I have to tear and rip these things apart and read between the lines and see, oh, this is how these people tick. And this is how Batman ticks. This is how they all tick.
I don't think, I don't mean that. By no means do I think anyone's sitting at home with a comic book and going, oh, what can I find the meaning of life in this? I don't think that.
I find the meaning of life in comic books, just saying.
Then you just proved my point exactly right there. However, I do wonder how many people sit at home and go, huh, that's me.
Yeah,
that's me.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe there's some people.
I had a broken childhood, and I've come through it, and now I'm a vigilante for those that have broken lives or whatever. You're laughing, but I'll bet you there's someone sitting out here in Batpod land going, "She got my card just now."
Yeah, I appreciate your comments and your input into this. I think we could probably, you know, rip this conversation apart and jump into it a little bit more, but I didn't want to, you know, dive too deep into this. But I do appreciate you coming on and talking to me about this. This is some good stuff here. If there's anybody out there that wants to jump in on this conversation, go right ahead and you can email us at batpodpodcast@gmail.com. You can find me at JoeyGalvez84. If you want to tweet my wife and you didn't like anything she said, you can tweet her at
MrsGalvez82.
And if you hated anything I said, please tweet me and give me some hate mail, whatever. And you can always check us out at PodBat on Twitter. And this is going to be our topic of the week. I appreciate you coming on, wife.
Thanks.
We'll see you guys next time. Let's move on to the books.
Selling Out Show, a podcast about the world we live in, hosted by a couple of guys who screwed up at every turn. Unscripted and raw takes on a variety of topics every time out. You name it, we talk about it and give a unique, thought-provoking perspective. We'll make you laugh, maybe a little livid, as we provide a new look at life for your listening pleasure. Follow us on Twitter at Selling Out Show, and we're available on all major podcast providers. Plus, you can find us on our network, Infirmary Media, by visiting infirmary.org. So what are you waiting for? Try Selling Out Show right now.
We're going to be talking about Nightwing number 52. In this issue, we have Scott Lobdell on the plot, Fabian Nicieza on the script, Chris Mooneyham as the artist, Nick Filardi on the colors, D'Ron Bennett, letterer. Chris Mooneyham and Nick Filardi have a cover. Kamami Shirahama has a variant cover. Dave Wagles is the assistant editor. Katie Kubert, editor. Jamie S. Rich, group editor. And Nightwing was created by Marv Wolfman and George Perez. In this issue, we see the detective who stole the suits from last issue offer the suits to three other individuals. They don't don the suits in this issue, but from what we see on the cover, they just might. But we do see Rick Grayson here kind of figuring out his instincts and how he can be so brutal on a whim. We see a little bit of a gas that reanimates people into some kind of raging zombie. And we also see Rick Grayson here waking up with tons and tons of cats as he squats in a cat lady's house. And we leave off in this issue with Rick Grayson's buddy's cab empty at an abandoned warehouse. And just as Rick Grayson was about to be going into action, running into this warehouse, the new Nightwing tells him to back off. What did you think about this issue, Bill?
So, the one thing that I've learned is, you know, Rick Grayson doesn't like to sleep with cats, and I don't think I would either. You know what I'm saying? Could you sleep with that many cats around you?
Oh, man. He says this cat lady's gone because he drove her to, I'm sure she kind of checked into a hospital somewhere, but he drove her over there and he goes and stays in her place because he, you know, that's what he does. He's a vagrant now and, you know, he squats in people's houses. But man, that lady's got so many cats.
Yep.
I almost thought, I was like, who's this lady? Is he talking about Selena Kyle?
Yeah, I thought so at first. And it's like, there must be cat hair everywhere. But all joking aside, I really enjoyed this issue. You have a mystery, you know, with, you know, dead body coming back to life.
Yeah. Because I took that as fear toxin. It wasn't really as apparent in this issue. They didn't really kind of straight out tell you, but the way that people were acting in there, it really felt like it was kind of fear toxin.
Yeah, I didn't get that from that, but it's possible. Yeah. You know, because the Scarecrow showed up previously.
Right. And I thought this was kind of cool here in the beginning where we see him, you know, fall off the top of that building and his instincts kind of kick in and he flips around. And
yeah. And the way that was drawn there, you know, at first when he's falling off that building, he thinks he's going to die, you know, has his eyes really wide open. And then, as you said, his instincts kicked in and he starts smiling.
And then he gets a little overconfident and he like undershoots this area and he falls and slams right into his cab.
Now, if I have to say one thing that was a little off-putting to me, it was the art.
Okay.
The art to me didn't appear strong. I mean, there were some places that I really enjoyed it, but then there were other places where it didn't seem as consistent, where you see the lady cop in the coroner's lab, face.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it did look,
it wasn't 100% consistent to me overall. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't say I hate it, but it just didn't feel. Now, if they stick with this artist, you know, going forward, sometimes when they change these, especially these double week shipping books, they change the artist after an arc or after a few issues, it takes you an issue to adjust to it. And that might be what this is. Okay. It'd be nice to see. I know they changed creative teams, you know, here recently with Scott Lobdell, and, you know, it might grow on me a little bit. And I personally don't have any experience with this artist, but there was a couple scenes that I found out of place, but you know, the way that Nightwing is drawn there at the end and, you know, you see that scene where you see the other costumes for all of his other buddies to put on.
Right,
that seems kind of cool. And I like how it's presented here. He says, "Vigilantes operate without restrictions to get things done. We can't. I think dark times call for dark nights."
That was kind of cool.
Yeah, I did like that line right there.
Yeah. I do like the art when he portrays the people being reanimated, kind of almost look like zombies or these mad, frothing at the mouth type of, you know, angry, crazy people coming at the detective there.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. And then how you see them kind of going off in the background and they're behind that glass and she's on the other side and she can't hear anything until there's gunshots. So I thought that was a really smart, smart page and panels there.
Yeah, I enjoyed this, but the majority of the internet and Twitter, if you listen to everybody out there, how they're destroying Nightwing is the worst book ever. Well, I'll tell you what.
Oh, man.
Here at the Bat Pod, I think we're enjoying this book.
Yeah, this is probably one of my favorite ones here. And I think I talk a whole lot about Nightwing and Red Hood a lot because those two books are to me, are exciting me a whole lot right now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm enjoying this, and you know what? I'm enjoying the ride. You know he's going to be Nightwing again. Everybody's freaking out.
Yeah.
Just relax. He's going to be Nightwing again. They're just telling a story, you know? This yeah. isn't going to change his character forever.
Right. One of the last panels there, you see Nightwing run off because he hears his buddy that you know, kind of warned him about being a cabbie in the first place is in duress. So he goes and looks for him. And the detective, the lead detective here that takes on the first... The present Nightwing suit, he kind of stops him and says, hey, you know, kid, we got this.
Yeah. Although I think I would have picked the disco suit. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, from the looks of it on the cover, that looks like the woman from, what is it, Precinct 13, I think she was from, yeah, or something yeah. like that.
You know,
she took that one on.
You know, I was thinking that maybe she would take that one, you know?
That's kind of funny.
I don't
funny,
know.
Man.
I think I'd try to rock that disco collar.
Yeah. Her name is Colleen Edwards, so she's the one that took the disco one, the one with the low V neck and the pop collar. Deputy Chief in the fire department, Malcolm Hutch, and it looks like he's gonna be taking the red one. Zach Edwards, Vice, 10th Precinct, and he's taking the other one without the pop collar, but very similar to that one. And then Colleen Edwards is gonna be taking the pop collar. This is kind of cool that we see this. I'm excited. This cover got me excited to see this. I wanted to see this in action in this book, but obviously they kind of just teased us with that one. But I hope that we get to see them in action a little bit in the next issue.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see.
Yeah, all in all, it was pretty good. You know, besides some of those panels where, you know, I did see that the proportions were off a little bit in some of the areas, but all in all, this issue was really good. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yep. I agree. It was pretty good. Okay. So we're going to head to Stump the Co-host.
Welcome to the Batpod Stump Your Co-host segment. Listen while Bill tries to stump his co-host. Can he do it? Let's wait and find out.
Welcome to Stump the Co-host. I'm here with my co-host that I'm going to stump, Joey Galvez. And are you ready to be stumped this episode?
I am ready.
Are you ready? We got a theme this week. This week, our theme has changed a little. We still have a little Batman in there. But our theme is going to be Stan Lee.
Excelsior!
Just because he passed away this week and he meant so much to so many people in the Marvel Comics that we thought we'd make mm-hmm. the theme Stan Lee. So are you ready for your first yeah. question?
I'm ready.
Okay. I got a Marvel question, and then I have a Batman-related question. So, the Marvel question okay. is, which character that I'm going to list out did Stan Lee not create? So, which character okay. did he not create of this list? A, the okay. Fantastic Four. B, Iron Man. C, the Punisher. D, Doctor Strange. So which one of those did he not create? And you're a big
I know he created.
And you're a big Stan Lee guy, so you should know this.
I know he created Fantastic Four for that one. That one's automatically out. I can't remember if he did either of the last three. I'm going to say he did Iron Man, so that one's out too. Now, Punisher and Doctor Strange. I'm going to say he did create Doctor Strange, so I think I'm going to go with C, which is Punisher.
Punisher, are you sure about that?
I'm going to be guessing on this one, but I'm going to go with Punisher.
So if you said Punisher C, you were correct. Stan Lee did create yes. the Fantastic Four, Iron Man, and Doctor Strange. The Punisher was actually created by Jerry Conway, John Romita Sr., and Ross Andrew.
Awesome.
So, question number two. So, in 2001, DC had Stan Lee write a miniseries called Just Imagine, and he reimagined DC characters. And one of the DC characters he reimagined was Batman, of course. So.
Okay.
He actually changed Batman's secret identity for this Just Imagine book. So what was Bruce Wayne's name in this book? Was it A, Bruce Adams, B, Wayne Williams, C, Lee Williams, or D, Wayne Everett?
So this one is going to be a complete guess on this one. I think I'm going to cross out C, and I might go with either Bruce Adams or Wayne Everett. Let's go with, you know what? I'm going to go with the last one, D. That's probably wrong.
D, Wayne Everett. If you said Wayne Everett, you were incorrect.
You're a loser! Are you feeling sorry for yourself? Well, you should be, baby, want a bottle?
He was actually Williams, and he was an African-American. And instead of his parents getting killed, his father, who was a policeman, was shot. Kind of interesting. He did a bunch.
That is interesting.
Yeah, he did a lot of the different characters. So that was, we wanted to try to do something Stan Lee. I thought I remembered him doing some books with DC characters, so I kind of wanted to put that in there. So that's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
And the cash and prizes, you didn't win this time, but would you like to know what you would have won?
Oh, man. Okay. I would
like and to in hear celebration that. Of Stan Lee and his life, this prize, of course, is the Marvel New Prize. And tell me, you know what that is?
No.
Oh,
what is
my
that?
Gosh. Okay. For everybody that doesn't know what a new prize is, it was in the letters page for Marvel for years. That they would ask this question and they were hand out a no prize. So it basically would be a prize that isn't a prize and they call it the no prize.
Okay.
So I know that's a little corny this episode, but I wanted to throw that out there because we were talking about Stan Lee and just a little tribute to him. And that
that's pretty cool.
I read and enjoy a lot of his works and I know you do too. So
yeah. Yeah, he did a whole lot for the comic book world. I mean, there was a lot of controversy in his life, but you know what? If you want to steer clear of all that controversy and just look at all the positivity that was in his life, he did do a whole lot for, Marvel. He created a whole ton of characters over there that are still relevant today. So that was a pretty cool thing, and I enjoy that, and I'm glad that we were able to tribute him in this manner.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that was our Stump the Co-host. Yeah, I couldn't take your Batman card away this week, so we'll go back to next episode. We'll hit back some Batman, and I'm sure you will get those wrong. So
hey, I got them right last episode.
So we'll see. I'm gonna go a little bit harder, I think.
And, you know, let me tell you, I did have a whole lot of fun on that ride along with Jim Gordon. It was pretty cool. I did try to sneak a peek when he went up to the roof there, and I could have sworn.
Well, you were told not to do that. You realize that.
I heard more than one voice up there, though, so I had to. I just had to.
Well, maybe he likes talking to himself. You never know.
I don't know. One was very distinct. It was more like this.
That's terrible. That's really bad. Yeah. Really bad. So, we will head back to the books. The Bat Pod is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. We can be found on nerdylegion.com along with some other great podcasts. Go check them out on nerdylegion.com.
Have you ever wanted to be a part of the Bat Pod? Well, you can. We have a bat phone. That phone number is 410-449-0650. If you'd like to leave us an email, email us at batpodpodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to reach out to us on Twitter, You can find the show at Podbat. And you can find Bill at Gotham Knight 13. And myself at Joey Galvez 84. If you find yourself sitting back doing nothing at home, get on your computer and check out thebatpod.com. You can read some reviews, watch some videos, listen to some podcasts. Oh, hey, and I've got a couch potato show over there. Again, that website is thebatpod.com.
Okay, her next book is Detective Comics 992. Your writer is James Robinson. Your artist is Carmine D. Giandemonico. Colors, Ivan Placencia. Letters, Rob Lay. Your variant cover, Dave Wagos. Your assistant editor, Chris Conroy. Your editor, Jamie S. Rich. And as always, Batman is created by Bill Finger with Bob Kane. And in this issue, we have a team up with Two-Face and Batman, and they finally confront the enemy, Cobra. We finally get to see Cobra, and you get a back history of Cobra, which is sort of interesting, kind of confusing.
Yeah.
We find out that Bruce has sent some of his other partners in the Bat family to take out other pieces of Cobra, as this is all just a distraction from what the real terrorist attack is in the sewers, and they're going to send, I guess, a gas? A mind-controlling agent, so everybody in Gotham City will become a part of Cobra. So, what did you think of this issue?
I thought this was a really good one. I liked it a whole lot. You get a little bit of answers here. You see the handful of the Bat family. You know, you see some great artwork. I mean, a whole lot of cool stuff here.
I enjoyed the artwork. The one thing I enjoyed seeing, and there's a thing I didn't really like and kind of confused me, which I enjoyed seeing, you know, some other members of the Bat family, like, helping out.
Yeah.
Like Katana, Black Lightning from the new Outsiders. That's kind of cool. Yeah. You see Orphan and Batgirl. And then this, right. The Fireflies even, you know, Two-Face got the Fireflies to help out. That was kind of cool. The one thing that didn't make sense to me. Okay, we have the Signal. And who is the Signal with? Batwoman.
You talking about Batwoman?
She got kicked out of the city.
Yeah, that was a little weird to me, too.
That didn't make any sense to me at all, of her being there.
That was weird.
Yeah, so that didn't make any sense. Just based on what we read in the Red Hood book, she shouldn't have showed up.
Right.
But it was an okay issue. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you see Batman and Two-Face working together. You don't see that too often. That was kind of entertaining.
They tear apart the Natural History Museum.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So do you think Batman is going to take another T-Rex there and put it in his trophy room?
I doubt it. They destroyed it.
You know, Alfred's going to have a rough time cleaning that one up.
Yeah. No, I don't know how much damage they created, but they're blowing things up in a museum and everything else. Most of that stuff is priceless. Yeah. You know, you can't replace. And basically destroyed that wing of the museum. You did have to stay on Harvey, you know. You promised you weren't going to kill. We don't kill. Yeah. So he had to keep reiterating that.
Right, right. I did like that one part there where they were talking about, you know, when he was trying to get a hold of Alfred there. And he's like, hey, voice, are you there? He doesn't have a name for him.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And said, so next time we'll come up with a name, a code name, you know.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I really hope they come up with a really cool code name.
But it was cool to see, you know, Bruce had researched Cobra and you get some back history of Cobra that you didn't know, and kind of interesting. I mean,
they kind of talk about the ranks within Cobra and how they kind of came to be and all this stuff. So what they're doing. So,
yeah,
he did say that they're kind of fractured a little bit.
Yeah. Yep. They sort of people have left. So what better way to get people to join than to send a mind-controlling toxin in their water or whatever, you know?
Right, yeah. And I thought that was really smart to have, you know, distract them on three fronts to make them seem as if, you know, which one is the real target. Batman had to get some information out of one of their tech, you know, their tech that he was trying to get all of their plans from.
I really like that
right.
aspect.
I mean, some of their back history is kind of confusing of what clans they are and different things, and different yeah. clans wear different kind of helmets. And, you know, you recognize the one guy, he looks mm-hmm. almost like Cobra Commander or something. Now, G.I. Joe fans yeah. are going to be like, that's not Cobra Commander. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Take it easy. Take it easy.
I think the way they were explaining, I think he was just kind of explaining the ranks and you know, the hierarchy within Cobra. But, you know, they're teasing here in the last page there. They say is the next, the death of Harvey Dent. So does that mean, you know, we're not going to see Harvey Dent anymore and we're just going to see Two-Face?
I don't know, but that's who we usually see. Two-Face,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
Actually, I want to see Two-Face where Two-Face comes back, where he actually flips the coin, because this whole,
yeah,
what we're on, like, five issues? Is this the fifth one?
Uh-huh.
We haven't seen him flip the coin once, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I mean, that's Two-Face. That's his character, right?
Yeah. As I said, my biggest problem with this whole thing is it's drawn out to a six-issue arc, and uh-huh. it's probably meant for like a 3 or 4, and you know, they had to fill some things in here, and it's not the yeah. worst arc in the world, but some places it is a little slow. There are some things this whole arc that I really enjoyed, and some things was like, okay, not a lot happened, but there
yeah
were,
they did take a little while for you to get you know, to the point that yeah. it was Two-Face.
Right. That it was Two-Faced, and then it took a while for them to confront Cobra.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like there was a bunch of clues that it was Cobra. It was just Two-Face was hiding the clues.
Yeah. And it took Cobra quite some time to actually do anything. They weren't doing anything for a while. You just kind of seen them here and there.
No. And, you know, they attacked. The only thing they really did before this issue is they attacked Gotham City PD. And, you know, they're so unorganized, they don't know how to plan a terrorist attack, so they hire somebody to plan it for them.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Right. Right. And that's why I say, you know, they're fractured. They're desperate. That's why they went and sought out that guy, you know? It was a little slow in some areas, and I did wish that we had a little bit more. Yeah. But, you know, all around, it was pretty good. I do want to see what's going to happen and how this is going
to
play out.
Well, I do have to say, if you're a writer and you get hired to do one arc between, you know, major runs, but they have you to do one mm-hmm. arc and you have 6 issues to tell a story and so many pages and so many, it might not be as easy as one would think.
Right.
If
yeah.
you would say, okay,
yeah.
let's just tell your story and how many issues it takes. It takes. If it takes more issues, take more issues, mm-hmm. but they don't have that here. Because Peter Tomasi is coming on in a certain particular issue. So he has 6 issues. So that might be more difficult than you would think.
Yeah, and then they got a deadline on top of it.
Yeah, and you know what I find interesting? And this is going back to Stan Lee, that the what they call is the Marvel method, because he had so yeah. many books to write way back when mm-hmm. that he would just give the artist the story. Hey, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, quick outline.
Yeah, quick outline. You just draw it, and then I'll come back and do the word balloons.
Yeah.
That's so amazing that those early issues turned in such of these major characters like that, and that's how they wrote it.
Right,
it's
right.
so different. Yeah, it's so done differently today, you know, with these.
Yeah, back then they were pumping out issue after issue.
Yeah, these full scripts. I mean, basically, and I don't know this for sure over there at Marvel, but, you know, Scott Snyder likes to write, you know, a full script. And
right.
who's to say what was done here, but it's kind of interesting how that stuff done. The inner yeah. workings of that mm-hmm. sort of thing is always interesting to me.
Right, right. And then, you know, I mean, you've got naysayers out there who say comic books are dumbing down America or whatever. But, you know, a lot goes into these things.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
A whole lot. You know, you have so many different working and moving parts. You got people who are working with their blood and tears on the page. And, you know, just for somebody who to come out because they have a medium and say, I haven't read comic books since I was a kid, but, you know, it's horrible. You shouldn't be reading it anyway.
I think they're just as important as novels and that sort of thing. I don't think there's anything, because we're not just talking about superheroes here. Yes, superheroes
right.
has their corner, but there's so much is written. You can write about uh-huh. anything, horror,
right.
comedy, anything.
And it takes a great deal.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely admire what it takes to put into just one issue of a comic book. And I think, you know, these creators, they definitely have, they have to have their, you know, we have to give them their due diligence. They do a great job, whether or not we feel that the, that some of these issues are a little bit slower than others, but you know what? They do a whole great deal and they do a great job.
Yeah, I know. They're trying to entertain, so everything isn't going to entertain everybody. And we're in this right. review culture right now where everything is terrible, you know?
Right.
It's
right.
either one end or the other. It's great, the greatest thing you ever read, or the worst thing you ever read. It right. doesn't have to be either. It can be, okay, that wasn't the best thing I ever read, but I enjoyed it.
Right. I had fun reading yeah. it.
So we'll get off this tangent, so...
Yeah, let's get off our soapbox.
So, yeah. Just... Now, that was Detective Comics. I'm looking forward to see that this is wrapping up. I think next issue might be the last issue. I'm not 100% sure, but possibly. I think it is. And yeah. then Peter Tomasi comes on, then that should be interesting. So we will head to what normally would be our character spotlight, but we're going to do a Thanksgiving theme book.
All right, this week we're not going to be talking about a character spotlight, but we're going to be talking about a special book. And, you know, it is Thanksgiving time, and we're going to be talking about a Thanksgiving book. And, hey, Bill, I heard that Thanksgiving was one of your favorite holidays.
I can't say it's my favorite holiday.
What is your favorite holiday?
Favorite holiday? Labor Day?
Is it because you don't have to go to work?
No, because it's almost football season.
Oh, so, all right. So you're a big football yeah. guy. So you're not gonna you don't like the Macy's Day Parade, and you don't watch football on Thanksgiving?
Oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that part I like. Parade yeah. I watched when I was younger. You know, you always watch the parade.
Yeah, that's a big tradition. And this book, we kind of have a little bit of that. And then you get around the table here and you have your favorite Thanksgiving dinner. So this book that we're going to be talking about is Batman Little Gotham. And we're going to be talking about chapter 2 here. And this one is probably just like, you know, it's kind of like a kiddie book, but you know what? It's a fun read. It was really cool. I had to pull it out because it was in my son's collection there. And I had to pull it out for us because it was kind of cool. It's written by David Guyon and Derek Friedolfs. Art by David Guyon. Letters by Sada Tamofonte. Variant cover by Chris Burnham. Colors by Nathan Fairbrain. Edited by Sarah Gatos. And obviously Batman was created by Bob Kane with Bill Finger. And this issue we're talking about, Thanksgiving. And we kind of open up here our favorite bird brain. Penguin is kind of wanting to get in the mix of Thanksgiving a little bit. It's Turkey Day and he has kind of a bird fixation. He wants to stop everyone from eating turkey. He feels a little bit of a camaraderie with the turkeys and he kind of jumps in the middle of their Thanksgiving Day parade. Batman and Robin kind of jump in and save the day a little bit. You get a little bit of trumpeting from Damian here. And then you kind of end this book a little bit with everybody sitting around the table and having their Thanksgiving Day dinner. What did you feel about this book?
I thought it was entertaining for what it was. There were several scenes that I thought very enjoyable. This is definitely not a serious book at all. But no, but look, really when fun. We first see the Batman balloon and Damian yeah. has a lollipop and he's like saying, ha, fat and pathetic. You wasted your money buying that. And then yeah. then he sees the Robin balloon and he's like, why is my head so fat and my body so small? Totally unrealistic. It's not even the right yeah, costume, kind of, he says.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I love this. And then, you know, you even got Batman's costume on there on the balloon. It's the blue and the gray. It's kind of like a throwback. I like this issue. It was fun. I actually picked this one up this year for Batman Day, and they were giving it away. They have a Halloween issue in the beginning, and then they have this Thanksgiving issue. And I quite enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. And you kind of see at the end there a little bit, you got a whole Bat family kind of hanging around the table,
And we were talking about it a little bit and see if we can name off everybody who are sitting around that table. But we were kind of doing it. I don't think we've succeeded. Did you come up with anybody else that you saw there?
No, we got the four Robins. You know, you got Batgirl, Barbara Gordon. One of those has to be Cassandra Cain.
Yeah, and there's a redheaded kid that may or may not be. You said either Roy Harper or...
I was thinking Roy Harper. I don't know. Jason Todd, I think, is one of the dark-haired. His original hair color was red, but I think that must be Roy Harper, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to know who. And then there's another girl that...
Yeah, because it can't be Stephanie Brown because she has, like, kind of lighter hair.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting to talk to find out who these everybody is here.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know.
Unless one of those dark-haired ladies is Bruce's, you know, date or something, somebody he's dating there.
That I don't know. No. They do mention Miss Gordon. Yeah, Alfred says, they do. Thank you, Miss Gordon. And they mention her a couple times. And Damien is in the green because she says, oh, Damien. And Damien actually says, why must berries be in sauce form?
Yeah, this one's so funny. Penguin, he released all the turkeys there, and he, you know, to do that, Damian Wayne picked up a trumpet, and he started playing some tunes there and started marching them down the street, and Batman says, you know, take them to the petting zoo around the corner. So it's just fun all around, and I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, and they actually feed Penguin turkey after he tried to save the turkey there.
Yeah, at the end when he's in there. Is he in Arkham Asylum? Is that? Yeah, that's got to be because there's all
or
the
Blackie.
Yeah, there's one of your favorite villains there, the ventriloquist Scarface.
And Mr. Z.
Yeah.
You're familiar with him, aren't you?
I'm not. Can you?
No, I don't know
you?
Who he is. I think he's just made up.
I don't know who that is.
I think he just falls asleep a lot. That's his superpower.
That's kind of funny. Yeah, he, you know, Penguin's there locked up with all his penguins. I thought this was just a fun little issue there. But I did think that the Halloween issue was way more funnier than this Thanksgiving issue, and I enjoyed that one a whole lot more too. But I like the artwork. How did you like the artwork? It was kind of like watercolors
I think it fit. I don't know if it would fit a regular issue, but, you know, it fit this.
No, maybe not. I've said this many times. I'm a sappy guy. I am a holiday guy. And it doesn't necessarily mean because of, you know, all the presents and buying anything and all the Black Friday sales. It's just getting around the table with friends and family, putting aside your differences and just being completely thankful. All your blessings, you can count your blessings around that time, and I love the holidays.
Wow, you must have a different family than mine.
You know what? I have a family who is quite like everyone else's. There is infighting and feuds, but you know what? I am always the kind of person that tries, at least. I mean, you got to try to look at things from a different perspective.
You know why I don't really like some of the holidays is we have to go to like three places on that particular day.
Yeah.
So you're barely anywhere for more than like an hour. And then you're off and running.
That's the way it used to be with me when I was a kid. We did the same thing. We had to eat at our place. And then we went to my grandmother's, and then we went to my mother's cousin's place in the next couple towns over. And it was one of those things where you're like, you're running, running, running. You don't really enjoy time. But now, as I'm older, I've got my own kids. I'm just like, you know, I'm just going to stay in one place, you know, hang out at my place. If I can't make it, someone else, you know what? I'm sorry. We got Skype now. We can Skype call people.
Yeah.
So other than that, I mean, it's a whole lot of fun. You know what's coming up next, Bill. You know I'm going to ask you what you're thankful for this year.
I'm thankful that we did, on the Thanksgiving episode, we did a Batman book.
Is it this one? This is your Batman book?
I guess. This is the Thanksgiving book, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's all you're thankful for?
No, I'm thankful for this podcast and all our listeners out there. That's what I'm thankful for.
Right, yeah.
Joey made me say something, so...
I'm trying to get you out. I'm trying to pull it out of you. It's like pulling teeth here with you, man. I am definitely thankful for my friends and my family. Thankful for this podcast. If there was no Batman, we wouldn't have this podcast. So, you know, I'm thankful for the creators who created all these different things that we talk about every week on this show. I'm having a whole lot of fun doing this. I appreciate it. Appreciate you, Bill. Thank you.
No problem.
That's enough for the sappy stuff.
Okay, sappy stuff out of the way.
Sap stuff's out of the way.
So let's go ahead and close up here. Got the Joey sappiness out of the way. Maybe your title can be the Sappy Joey Thanksgiving Special. Pretty good one right there.
There you go.
So yeah, if you'd like to be part of the show, we are on Twitter, at Podback. I'm at GothamKnight13.
And I am at JoeyGalvez84.
We are on Facebook. We do have an email. If you'd like to send us an email, we will take a regular email or audio clip. We'll put it right on the show. Our email is batpodpodcast@gmail.com.
Just no sappy stuff.
There you go. There he goes again. Got to rein him in next time. We are on iTunes. If you'd like to send us an iTunes review, we'd really appreciate it. We don't have an iTunes review yet, so we're looking for our very first one. We're also on Google Play and Stitcher. We wanted to mention again, we are a part of the Nerdy Legion Podcasting Network. Go over to nerdylegion.com and check out all the great podcasts over there. Anything else you wanted to mention?
I always want to mention, go check us out at thebatpod.com. There's some great stuff over there when I have time to post some stuff, because Bill has been getting on me for that. But check us out over there. We'll have some good stuff coming up for you guys.
And anybody that wants to help out with thebatpod.com, feel free to send us an email. We're looking for reviewers, or you just want to help out in any way, we will accept anybody. Until next time, same bat time, same bat channel. We will see you later.